You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. On today's show, the first thing I'm going to talk about is a major hurdle that Steve Cohen passed to owning the Mets. It now appears like everything is aligning for him to get the approval he needs to officially become the Mets' new owner. I'll talk about what hurdle he passed in the first half of the show today. And then later on the second half of the show, I want to look at some of the major dates of the upcoming offseason and why the Mets are a little bit pinched for time as they try to make this transition into the new front office and new organizational structure as they move from the Wilpon era to the Cohen era. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, according to Sportico, Steve Cohen's bid to buy the Mets franchise was approved by the MLB's ownership committee. This is a collection of eight who had to vote and go through the numbers and vet out this transaction as the Wilpons sold 95% of the team to Steve Cohen. Originally, he owned 8% of the team as a minority owner, which made things a little bit easier as far as this transition of power. But ultimately, there was a lot of details that had to be hammered out. This ownership committee vetted through all those details, and it was a 7-1 vote in favor of Steve Cohen's purchase of the Mets. That was reported by Joel Sherman of the New York Post. Now, the one vote that likely could have been against Cohen is Jerry Reinsdorf, who's on this committee, and I believe he's also on the eight-owner executive committee that needs to vote on this next. Jerry Reinsdorf was against Cohen buying the Dodgers, I believe, back when they were up for sale. He is someone who, for whatever reason, does not want Cohen to be part of the party, but ultimately the fact that he got 7 out of 8 votes, that is a good indication of the way these votes are going to continue to fall for Cohen as he gets through these last stages in the process of buying the Mets. The next one is this executive committee, another 8-owner group that has to go through everything, and they will vote. If he gets a majority of their votes, it'll finally get to all 30 owners voting on this, and we're expecting that that vote will take place at some point very soon after the World Series, as long as 22, because one of those votes belongs to the Mets, so they're not going to vote this down. So as long as 22 of the other 29 franchises agree to this and approve of this deal, Steve Cohen will finally be the Mets owner. And when you just look at the numbers of this and what has happened so far and all of the coverage of this sale of the team, it would be complete anarchy if they were to vote him down at this point. They, in the middle of a pandemic, have just seen one of their franchises, and this is all about money. So when you're a major league owner, you got to think about the business of baseball. And you have a franchise in your biggest market, or if you want to say LA, you know, your second biggest market, whatever you want to call New York. You have one of those two franchises that just sold for $2.42 billion in a pandemic, okay? They can't turn that down. That raises the value of all of their franchises. This is a record-breaking sale. So I don't think that this is going to fall apart. I don't think the other owners are so enticed by the idea of the A-Rod group swooping back in and taking this over for, you know, 7 or 8 of them to vote this down. I just don't see that happening because, for one, that would drag this thing out, and now you have this Mets drama story just plaguing their offseason when, quite honestly, they have to all get together and figure out what the hell they're going to do next year because they have to figure out fans, they have to figure out these rule changes, they have to figure out labor disputes and going through what can we come to terms with the players to resume a 2021 season when there is no guarantee that the coronavirus will have gone away by that point. So there's so many other things that needs to be done that I just can't see any scenario where this vote doesn't go through. You wish they would just vote on it now and get it over with so we can like have some conclusion to all this, but give it another week, maybe 2 weeks, and we'll finally get that resolution. Now, the one thing to note is that Cohen's getting 95% of the team. 5% will still belong to the Katz and Wilpon families, and that concerns me because it's a dark shadow. Still, it's not going to really affect the organization, but you just kind of want the juju to be set into the right place, and I don't even want the Wilpons at all associated with the Mets. But unfortunately, that was the terms of the agreement, so they're still going to be minority owners. But how much have you heard from Steve Cohen over the past decade when he's been a minority owner? Not much. So it really is of no consequence. But what all of this ultimately means for the Mets going into this offseason is they're in this great period of transition with limited time. Brody Van Wagenen was hired by the Wilpons at the end of October back in 2018 to be the new GM. Now, they had started that GM search about a month prior at the conclusion of the season, so they had so much time to make that decision, and unless there's been a lot of Zoom interviews that Steve Cohen's been conducting behind closed doors, it's going to be tough for the Mets to maybe hire a new GM, set up a new analytics department, do all of these things, and participate in all of the various steps of the offseason. I'm going to talk about some of those important dates and what the Mets will be up against in just a minute. If you want to try the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, go to BuiltBar.com. These are bars that are covered in 100% chocolate. They come soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too, coming low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. There are 18 amazing flavors, including the nut and non-nut flavors. There's also 6 new flavors, including the caramel brownie bar, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp. If you want to try any of these great protein bars today, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. So the day after the World Series completes, it is the official start of the offseason. And that is why getting this vote pushed through as quickly as possible is vitally important to the Mets because they need to be in a position where Sandy Alderson can come in, Steve Cohen can come in, and they can get to work. And if that vote drags out for whatever reason, you're in this weird limbo where Brody and Jeff Wilpon are in the GM and president seats as the offseason begins and you got to negotiate with Marcus Stroman, and the Mets can really fall behind. So hopefully the commissioner and the other owners are aware of this. Well, obviously they're aware of this, but hopefully they act and get that vote passed. Hopefully, you know, the day after the World Series, if they don't want to conflict with, you know, the big fall classic, day after, get that vote approved, voted on, and then move on so that you can really start your off season. And for the Mets, the first decision to be made is going to be on Marcus Stroman because you have a 5-day period between the end of the World Series and where free agency begins, where impending free agents can only negotiate with their previous team. So this is a time where you would hope Sandy Alderson can get in a room or on a Zoom with Stroman's agent, and they can talk numbers and see if there is a possible contract that can be ironed out before they even get to the qualifying offer process. And that is the next aspect that starts after that 5-day window, because at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 5 days after the World Series, free agency officially opens and all free agents are available to negotiate with all teams. This is also the deadline for teams to attach a qualifying offer to one of their impending free agents. So the Mets have to decide by 5 p.m., 5 days after the World Series, if they're going to tender Marcus Stroman that qualifying offer. And he's their only free agent of note that they would consider giving a qualifying offer to. Now, that is also the deadline for teams or even players to decide on contract options. So Robinson Chirinos, Todd Frazier, and Wilson Ramos are all on team options, and they will all likely be bought out and declined. Then you have the players. Dellin Betances has a $6 million player option. Brad Brock has a $1.25 million player option with incentives that could push that deal over $2 million based on appearances. Both of these relievers are guys that I think will likely opt in to those figures, because for Brock, it's a guaranteed major league contract, and if he hits the market with all the uncertainty right now, I don't know what he gets. I don't think that he's going to find anything much better than a $1.25 million contract. He was a Mets fan growing up, likes being a Met. I don't see him opting out unless he's just been really happy in New York and wants to explore some other opportunities, or he's a little bit later on in his career if he wants to maybe move on from baseball. Other than that, if he plans to play next year, I assume he will accept that player option and remain a Met. Betances had an injury-plagued season where his velocity was down, didn't get great results, didn't have, of course, a ton of time to prove himself. But is he going to get more than $6 million? That's something I'm not sure about, okay? So Betances is another guy, and I'll probably do an evaluation of him soon, and we'll really dig into what his decision is here, but that's another guy that's going to have a decision to make on whether he wants to remain a Met next season. 15 days after the World Series completes, you have the deadline for qualifying offers. This is where a player like Marcus Stroman has to decide whether he wants to accept the offer and play on that 1 year, $18-plus million contract, or if he wants to become a free agent and negotiate with all teams. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see if Stroman is tendered the qualifying offer and whether he accepts it. The next date is November 20th, and that is the Rule 5 roster protection deadline. So this is where the Mets will have to make decisions on their Rule 5 eligible players. This is their prospects, whether they want to add them to the 40 or leave them available to be selected in the Rule 5 draft. And the Rule 5 draft takes place during the winter meetings. So that is where another team could decide that they want to poach one of the Mets players. They would then have to keep them on their roster, their major league roster, that is, for the entire 2021 season to retain them. But that's going to be a pretty complicated decision for a front office that could be still in the process of being built out. And that's why I continue to harp on this ownership vote, because you're talking about 3-4 weeks. Well, okay, it's October 20th now as I'm recording, so we're a month away from that Rule 5 deadline. By the time the World Series ends, you're talking about 3 weeks at best. A lot of decisions to be made while the Mets are trying to figure everything out. And this is almost where you could get to a point where Brody's not fired, where Cohen decides, I just can't get through a GM search right now. We're bringing Sandy in. Brody, you're reporting to Sandy. Sandy, you're kind of running the show. I'm going to look and I'm going to try to hire these analytic people, and we're going to try to do this on the fly. But that's the circumstance where Brody is not let go, because simply they just don't have time to go through a lengthy GM search. Unless, you know, you do something like letting Brody go. Sandy is your president. Omar Minaya is an interim GM. And you go through your offseason and maybe you hire a new GM later on near the end of the offseason. That's another possibility that I could see, especially with Minaya's past relationship working under Alderson and also with the relationship he has with Steve Cohen, as Steve Cohen has been a minority owner and knows Minaya pretty well. All this is to say, a lot needs to be done. Going to be a lot of decisions and changes and things going on. And meanwhile, you got to build a ball club that can compete in 2021. The next deadline is the deadline to tender your arbitration eligible players to contracts, or really to non-tender them. We've seen guys like Wilmer Flores be non-tendered in the past at this deadline. This is always an interesting date in the offseason. And this year, there's a couple longtime Mets that could see themselves non-tendered. The biggest name would be Steven Matz. Coming off a down year, I don't expect the Mets to non-tender him, but he's 1 year away from free agency. And you also wouldn't be surprised because he pitched so poorly this year. I think it was such a small sample size. And Steve Cohen, quite frankly, has the money to pay him the $5 million and change he'll probably get through arbitration. So I think he'll remain a Met, but that's definitely something they have to talk about. The other big names that could be non-tendered, Robert Gazelman is one where he has struggled the last couple of years, had the injury this year. Do the Mets want him in their bullpen next season? Do they want to put him through arbitration? Or do they say, you know what, it's just not going to work out? Miguel Castro, I would expect the Mets to tender him, but there's still some questions there. This is possibly a new front office that didn't make the trade to acquire him. He's a name that could get non-tendered. Guillermo Heredia is another guy I could see getting non-tendered. Played for the Mets that last week of the season there. Don't think they really have long-term plans for him. After the non-tender deadline, your next big date is the winter meetings, which are supposed to take place in Dallas starting on December 7th through the 10th. Not sure if that's actually going to happen this year as coronavirus cases continue to spike around the country. You got owners who are a little bit older in age, executives who probably a little bit older as well. I'm not sure if all of them are going to want to travel and meet in Dallas and socially distance and go through all those protocols. I don't know if Major League Baseball wants to spend the money to set up all those protocols and the testing that would probably have to take place to hold the meetings in person. There's probably a good chance that ultimately becomes virtual winter meetings. However, that ends up playing out. I don't know how that would hamper the different trades and maneuverings we usually see at the winter meetings when these guys are getting coffee together and they're out at the bar at night and there's just so many different conversations that are had that can lead to things, but we'll see what Major League Baseball decides to do. We'll see how important that in-person interaction is if they actually do want to set something up. And right now, like I said, the plan is to hold it in Dallas. Finally, January 15th is the last day that teams can negotiate with their arbitration eligible players. If they cannot come to terms on a new deal, they will submit a number, the player and the team. It goes in to the arbitration hearings, which begin in February, and that will decide a player's contract. And from there, you're pretty much at spring training by the end of February. So a lot needs to get done over the next 3 or 4 months, and for the Mets, they have more work than anybody. We'll cover it all here with Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also always tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.